You know, as most of you know, Bracken and I have had some new projects come along in our lives over the past year. You know, a new baby, and also sold a house, bought a house, you know, that we're planning on flipping. And, you know, it's a big project for us in our lives. And so I decided, you know what, I'll just talk about a few things that God's been teaching me and still is teaching me through these projects as we're working on this house flip and, you know, new endeavors in our lives. And, you know, as we joke, and I probably will joke about it a couple times, but we go to marriage counseling every other Friday night. Peter's our marriage counselor. If you got any marriage issues, ask him. So just, you know, when I say marriage counseling, just take it that way. So I thought, you know, for the first thing, Brack and I had a house that we were renting out in Caledonia, and a renter came to us and said, hey, I'm going to be moving on. So we had to make the decision, do we get another renter, do we sell the house, or do we keep it? And, you know, that was a big decision for us because these are new areas that we haven't gone down, new roads. We had great two renters and, you know, didn't know if we wanted to try a third time at that. We hear all these horror stories. But then we also knew of a property that was coming up. So we had this new project, and I don't know what your projects are in your life that you have going on right now that's probably totally different than me, but we all have different things God's working on in our life. And so the first thing I would like to talk about tonight is seeking godly counsel. When we started looking into how we're going to do this, what we're going to do, you know, is this what God wants us to do, we had to seek godly counsel. So we went to different people throughout the church here and asked them, you know, for advice. There was Harry Mancini who said, you know, hey, Harry, you know about the housing stuff. We know nothing about houses. You know, tell us. We went to my father-in-law, you know, about renovating a house and fixing it up. Is this feasible? Does it work? So we went and sought out different godly counsel. And, you know, when I think about godly counsel in the Bible, there's one book in the Bible where a very wise man filled out a lot of wisdom in it, and that's in the book of Proverbs. And if you turn to me in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 19 is where we're going to start. I'm going to jump around a bit, but Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. And Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter days. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is in his kindness, and in his poor man is better than a liar." So in the first verse it says here, hear counsel and receive instruction. For many of us, sometimes, I don't know, maybe I'm the only guy in the room here, but sometimes instruction is hard to take. Sometimes it's hard to hear counsel from others. We like to perceive sometimes what we want to believe, not what we should believe. And, you know, the Bible is full of wise counsel. King Solomon wrote a lot about counsel and lots about wisdom in Proverbs. And there's lots of things we can learn from God and from the godly counsel we have in our lives. It's so hard for us sometimes to accept other people's counsel. I heard a stat the other day that 85% of people have determined their beliefs on things, their worldview, and then make all of the stats and everything work for their worldview, instead of actually going and seeing what the stats say and then believing, which was quite astonishing to me at first. And then as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? I've done that a few times. I've thought of something and thought, you know what? I can make it work from my opinion. But, you know, we have a book here, and this book is full of great, great instruction and great counsel, great wisdom. You know, if you have a question in life, you can turn to the Bible, and most of the time you can find an answer. And you know what? Sometimes you have to go around and seek out the counsel. We have lots of people who, like Pastor in the church and Mr. Wyatt and some of the other people, who have different understandings of different areas. We have some people who've been farming for a long time, some people who've ran their own businesses. We have people who've just worked the ordinary job. But we have lots of people in our lives, in our church, who have great counsel and great wisdom to share with us. So you know, this was one big thing to me that really stood out in our searching out to see, you know, what God wants for our lives. You know, but I think the one part of all of this is I've talked about the people and the things, but prayer, you know, God can give you a lot of wisdom just via prayer, you know, give you the peace of mind and the understanding you need to understand what He wants you to do in your life. And, you know, as I thought about this godly counsel, seeking counsel, you know, I thought about also the aspect of, are we giving counsel? You know, because the church is the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it talks about that we are the body of Christ. And, you know, as the body, you know, are we working together? This week I had something happen that I wasn't using all of my body to work together. I was texting and walking, which I know you should not do. And I sent out a message to the church's group soccer team that was just meant for one specific person at work. Everybody else got a laugh out of it, but we'll just leave it at that. So, you know, for me, you know, I wasn't using my eyes to show my feet where to go, and I wasn't using my brain to think of who I was sending the message to. So, you know, it's sometimes in our lives, we need to work together as a church. We need to give each other counsel. And, you know, I got thinking of what kind of wisdom or what kind of things has God given me that I could help somebody else in the church with? What kind of counsel can I give to others? You know, at our marriage counseling, we all sit around and talk about our marriages. And, you know, one of the first discussions was marriage is our first ministry. And, you know, how am I sharing the wisdom God has given me in my personal devotion life with my wife? You know, how are you sharing it with the people around you, what God is teaching you? How are you being a good godly counsel to others? And it really stuck out to me this week, you know, my kids have lots of questions, and sometimes, you know, it's easy to say, sorry, not right now, or just push them off for a minute. But it really stood out to my mind as I was prepping this, thinking, wow, how often do I sit down and actually give my kids really godly counsel and actually, you know, explain to them a little deeper than the short little 5-second lesson? The other thing Brack and I have been learning, and I include Brack in this because this is a big journey we've taken on together. So the next big thing we've been learning is figure out what matters. You know, there's a lot of things in our lives. There's a lot of busyness in our lives. But what really matters? What is the most important? With a house flip, it's kind of interesting because for us, it's been a little bit fun. But you buy this property and you look at it and you think, oh, we can make it look magnificent. You know, we can do lots of really cool things. We can rip out this wall and paint this room this color, add this, do whatever, you know. But we had to figure out what actually matters. What is our goal in the process? You know, who is our target market we're trying to sell to? What kind of things are important to fix or not fix? You know, is it just an ugly bathtub? Or is it a bad bathtub? You know, those kind of things, we had to figure out what really matters. There was one wall in the house when we first bought it that, you know, is right in the middle of the house. And, you know, our first thought is, well, let's get rid of that, you know. And, you know, we've watched lots of these shows and you always hear all these horror stories, right? But, you know, luckily we knew somebody who was pretty good at figuring out that there wouldn't be many of these horrors underneath it. But We had to figure out what mattered. And, you know, as a Christian life, we have a foundation. And we had to figure out, is this wall a supporting wall? Is this part of, you know, the way the house was structured and built? And, you know, we found out it was, so we had to make adjustments so we could remove the wall but put in a beam. But it got me thinking about, what is our foundation? In 1 Corinthians 3:11... For other foundations no man can lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is our foundation. And you know what? As Christ being our foundation, you know, we had to decide for the house, what is the foundation? What do we have to keep? And you know what? We need to have Jesus Christ as our foundation. We need to set him as the template that we build on and work with. But Jesus needs to be the foundation. That's the one thing that cannot change. And that is the one thing that matters the most and only matters. But, you know, as we got thinking about, you know, the other things that matter, some of them are just cosmetic. But it also got me thinking about for our lives, what is our purpose? What is our end goal? What are we working towards? And as Christians, we know where we're working towards. We're working to the end goal of eternity. But in the process, we are to work for Christ. And you know what? As I was thinking about the things of what matters, I was thinking, you know, with a home renovation, the goal is to up and make things new, to revive it. And at first I got thinking, you know, as a new Christian, when you're just saved, you're so excited because you now can see clearly. You can see what is right and what is wrong. And you start, you know, challenging and wanting to get rid of all the old and get rid of the things that don't matter in your life. But as you get long in your Christian journey, at least for myself, I feel that sometimes it's easy to just get stuck in a rut and not be pushing forward for the end goal as hard as you could be. And sometimes you've got things in your life that, you know, nothing's wrong with it, but does it matter? Does it matter for the end goal? Does it matter for what you're working for? In Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, you know, are we working towards renewing our mind? Are we working towards putting God more in our life than less in our life? You know, are we working towards the end goal of being closer to God? As it says in James 4, verse 8, I'll just go there for a second. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So are we drawing nigh to God? Are we drawing closer to him through the things in our lives? Are the things that we are doing getting us closer to God? With the renovating, when Brack and I looked at the kitchen, we said, you know what, we'll just fix up the fronts and, you know, we'll just put new fronts on the cabinets. But then as we looked at them, we said, you know what, we better get all new ones. You know, would the old ones have been fine? Yes, but new would be that much better and be that much more functional for the house. And so for us in our lives, are we looking to put something new in our lives that will draw us closer to God? You know, we've been going to Peter and Miranda's and we've been listening to these different podcasts about marriages, and it's got me listening to even podcasts about raising children and different things. And, you know, it's really got me thinking of, you know, when we go there, we sit together, it's bringing different people's views of how they live their marriage for each other and for God, bringing different opinions that actually has been helping recognize marriage, you know, draw closer to each other, draw closer to God as a husband and wife. Because when you start adding in new things and new ideas, sometimes it will work better for you to be closer to God. And, you know, that's, as a church, are we working together to grow closer to God? Are you helping each other draw closer to God? That's, you know, been a real big thing for me when we've started. You know, Brack and I've had to lift in 40 sheets of drywall the other day. And, you know, by the end, we both were exhausted. It was a lot of heavy lifting. But, you know, it drew us closer to each other because, you know, at the end of the night, we both were really tired and sore. But, you know, there's things when you start working together, you start getting closer because you're spending more time with each other. And, you know, are you and are we as a church spending more time with each other, trying to draw each other closer to God through the different things that we are doing in this church? The third thing I would like to talk about, and this isn't always a favorite subject to most people, but the third one is work hard. You know, we all go through different seasons of our life, but this season of our life, my days are working on the farm and my nights are working the house and my weekends are working on the house. But, you know, God calls us to work hard. The kids have a little song by Judy Rogers that they listen to, and it is in about the passage in Proverbs chapter 6. I was going to try to get Sullivan to sing it for you tonight, but maybe another time. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You know, if any of you have ever watched an ant or read up about ants, they work extremely hard and they can pull quite a bit of weight around. And, you know, even if we look at most of the creatures God created, they all work really hard. And, you know, we as Christians should work that much more harder. We need to work harder for God. We need to work harder for the end goal. The big thing that's been sticking out lately for me is living purposely for God, living purposely to better my family, to be closer to God. What is my purpose? Our purpose here as Christians is to serve God. Our purpose here as Christians is to show the Great Commission, you know, go ye all and preach the gospel to all nations. You know, that's our purpose. Our purpose is to live for God every day and live for Him more and strive to do more for Him. And so that's what I've been learning the last little while, and I hope that those few things can challenge each and every one of you this week. I don't think I'm anything special, and I hope that it didn't come across as, you know, boasting on what we're doing, but in my life, I'm trying harder to live more purposely for God. And I hope that with that, those few things of seeking godly counsel, figuring out what actually matters, and working hard, we can go forward with that. All right, let's pray.